Brass Next, good afternoon. Hey, hello. 4341790. Brass Next, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Yeah, I just heard you. And I heard Roslyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also a person with disabilities, visually impaired from 1961. I am Ernie. I'm the president of the Barbados Blind Cricket Association. But right now I'm speaking on disabilities. I agree with Roslyn 100%. I also agree with you. You know, person with disabilities, we don't want sympathy. You know, people say we always fighting. Dennis, we will always fight. Because you know what? We are just like other persons. God love us all. We are his children. And I don't think we should criticize the other person because of the disability. I heard Roslyn talking about the white paper and the green paper in Parliament. I was the PR then for the Barbados Council for the Disabled when that green paper and white paper was presented by the Honorable Hamilton Lashley, then the Minister of Social Transformation. And I also sat on the first board with transport and a gentleman from Germany about the buses. And I'm very pleased to hear that buses are down here with persons with disabilities that you can get into. Because after I lived in New York for so long, Dennis, I knew that when the bus came, the lift came down the sidewalk, you got up.
Yep.
And it was so easy. And it hurt my heart that when I returned here, that we had no transportation for the person with disabilities because the steps were so high.
And the sidewalks are not even.
That's right. That is what Mr. Greenan said in that meeting. He said, we don't have the infrastructure for the buses and the sidewalks not even. Because we have no sidewalks for the buses to come just to the sidewalk. Lower the step and let you get on.
Straight on. Stay with me for a minute. Four three four 1790-266-4862 or 266-IVOB. brasstacks@starcallnetwork.net. You can join us via Zoom as well. Dennis Johnson, your host, until 2 o'clock. News from Stetson Babb in the newsroom saying that we can expect the government briefing at 1:30. But in the studio, we have Keith Goddard with an update from the Met Office. Keith.
Good afternoon to you, Dennis, and to listeners on the Starcom network of stations. We have the 12:35 p.m. weather update from the acting director of the Met Office, Mr. Brian Murray, to give us that update right now.
The Barbados Meteorological Services continues to closely monitor the progress of an area of disturbed weather located near 12.5 degrees north, 56 degrees west. This is about 390 kilometers or 242 miles east of Barbados. The system is moving westward near 15 to 20 miles per hour. Our reconnaissance aircraft is scheduled to investigate this system this afternoon. Convection associated with the system during the course of the morning has continued to show slow signs of improvement, with scattered deep convective clusters persisting mainly on the western side of the system. However, this feature remains elongated with a distinctive northeast through southwest orientation. This creates a challenge in forecasting where along the elongated circulation the system will consolidate its center. Furthermore, as with developing systems of this nature, it will not be surprising if there are multiple centers as it becomes better organized. There are presently no watches or warnings in effect for Barbados. However, some moderate to heavy showers and occasional gusty winds could move across Barbados this evening and into Wednesday. As far as the intensity is concerned, as the system maintains its westward motion, some slow but gradual development is forecast, and a tropical depression or tropical storm is likely to develop over the next 24 to 48 hours. There hasn't been any significant change in the forecast track from the previous 6 a.m. statement. There is still currently good agreement on the feature passing just north of Barbados late Tuesday night and into early Wednesday morning. It is highly advisable that all Barbadians closely monitor the progress of the system. The key messages: rainfall accumulations of 25 to 75 millimeters with isolated higher amounts are likely as this system traverses the area. In addition, a small craft warning is in effect for above normal swell heights from 6 p.m. today, 20th of July, 2020. Recommendations to the public: stay on high alert for updates from the BMS on the system over the next 12 to 24 hours. Depending on where the system consolidates its center, a warning may be issued for Barbados at a short notice. The next update will be at 6 p.m. Tuesday, 28th of July, 2020, or sooner if conditions warrant.
And that's the acting deputy director of the Met Office. And as you said, that's the latest position of the weather system, which is being monitored by the Met Office here in Barbados. And as you said, Dennis, Barbados can expect a statement from the government at around 1:30 p.m.
Thank you very much, Keith. We'll continue to listen to and follow the information coming from our news center. The WhatsApp message says, good afternoon, Dennis. It was good to hear both Rosalind and yourself regarding the issues of disabilities. My constant refrain to all architects, engineers, and the project managers I come across is to design what is practical for use for all disabled persons to use at any time. I say this as my refrain because life has taught me that we are all disabled at some point in our journey through time, some folks permanently, some temporarily, but for all of us at some time. There must be care taken so that we can all access our areas of recreation, have the freedom to live our lives with dignified independence. We stand tall and contribute to our Barbados and our region and must never be marginalized by the physical inadequacy of infrastructure planning or future site of our needs. I laud the new buses, look forward to wheelchair access, adaptable car dealerships, new sea access points on public beaches, etc. Thank you for the comments. 4341790. Hopefully my caller is still online. Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. Yes, you're
welcome. Yes, Mr. Johnson, I'm still
saying,
here.
Mm-hmm, you were saying.
Yeah, I was saying before, mm-hmm. You know, people marginalize the person with disabilities, but we don't know what is going to happen to us.
Yeah.
You can go down the street and have an accident. When I heard you explain what you go through, you know, you may think you can't see well, but then some other one with another disability is going through something worse than we can. That's why we should empathize with each other. Mm-hmm. We don't need sympathy, mm-hmm. empathy. Mm-hmm. And let me say something about the professor, the late Professor Oinata. Mm-hmm. He went our best. Were presented to Parliament by Mr. Hamilton, lastly Minister of Social Transformation. Prime Minister Arthur always supported the disabled. And he was also there when Harambee House, the home for persons with disabilities, was opened. Prime Minister Arthur was right there. He planted a tree outside of the Barbados Council for the Disabled Harambee House at Garden. I was right there because there's a photograph in the Council for the Disabled, and Ernie, yours truly, is standing next to the Prime Minister. And after he planted that tree. And you know, Mr. Cleveland Mears had a lot to do with persons with disabilities.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
you
did.
Know that, Dennis.
Yes, he did. He called this program, and he agitated. Cleveland Mears did a tremendous amount of work. I recall that very well.
I want to, on behalf of Barbados Blind Cricket Association and the disabled community, to extend sincere condolence to Mrs. Arthur, the children, the parish of St. Peter, his constituents that he was so good to, and the whole of Barbados, the Caribbean, and the world. And he loved people. He was there for everyone, and he would like everyone to give of his best. So may his soul rest in peace and rise in glory. And Dennis, I'm going to remind you about something.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered years ago, I wouldn't even tell you the date, the first check that was presented to Blind Cricket, it was a check presented to me mm-hmm. by Mr. Desmond Haynes, Mr. Cleveland Mayor's looking on, mm-hmm. and it was was on Morning Barbados, mm-hmm. posted by a gentleman by the name of Dennis Johnson.
I remember it well. Thank you. I thank you, Carl. Thank you very much. Carson Small, who worked with us here at StarCom Network, and I, you know, we had this, we used to do this thing, we'd greet each other, and, you know, we'd always have kind words, and Carson would always introduce me to what he called a pretty lady, and I would always tell Carson, I got to find out what it is you actually see, because you never said to me, meet a pretty lady and introduce me to an ugly one. And, you know, I said to him, perhaps you're not having proper vision is what helps you see pretty ladies. But there are people who've worked tirelessly. And I can think of several of them who've tried to bring to the fore the ability of people with disabilities. And Blind Cricket was one of the ways that helped to push the movement into the public fore. And it certainly was an interesting experience to look at Blind Cricket and bring in persons who were visually impaired from other islands to Barbados. Certainly was a wonderful experience. Thank you for sharing with us today. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
I want to welcome you back to the microphone.
Thank you.
Now, I want to say two things about the Right Honorable Mr. Arthur. Prime Minister, Professor Arthur, and one is this. One time I was coming to Queen's Park. You know Queen's Park well?
Fairly well.
You know that long road, the main road in Queen's Park?
Yeah, going and straight up on right.
That leads from the east to the west?
Correct.
You know, in the middle of that road, there's some steps that would take you down to
the cricket ground. Uh-huh.
Right. Well, one side I was coming to Queen's Park, and right on the right hand side, going down those steps, I saw the Prime Minister Arthur and some men laying down on a big piece of tarpaulin that had a locally produced beverage. a large size.
So necessary at cricket.
Yeah, a large size. And they also had a big bucket of chicken. And the Prime Minister was there.
Also necessary at cricket.
Yeah. The Prime Minister was there with them, and I passed and I said, good afternoon, Mr. PM. And he looked up and he said, hello, sir. And my heart was bursting with pride, because I say the only place in the whole wide world where you could see a Prime Minister relaxing that comfortably with his subjects is in Barbados. I mean, it was a spectacular sight. And I felt so proud to see the Prime Minister with ordinary folk, the eating and drinking and discussing the cricket. I felt proud. But the big moment I had with the Prime Minister was one Saturday I was on duty in the signal station at the port, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And a Coast Guard go fast boat came to the entrance of the port seeking permission to enter the port to go alongside a yacht called Le Feron, belonging to one of those rich Arabs. So I said to the Coast Guard to stand by. I called the Coast Guard Oxroom on the landline, and I asked them if they have one of their go-fast boats that's scheduled to go alongside the Le Feron. They told me yes. And then I made contact with the yacht itself, and I asked if they're expecting of course, Gab wanted to come alongside. And they told me yes. But the transmission between me and the yacht, the Coast Guard vessel, they heard. But they couldn't hear the other. They called me to the Coast Guard base because it was on very long line.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave permission to enter the port. And the yacht the Coast Guard boat bypassed the yacht and came right in the corner by the signal station, by the landing steps. And the first body I saw that got off of that
Coast
Guard boat with the Prime Minister, Owen Arthur. And he came up in the signal station and he said to me, I passed where I was supposed to be going just to come and see who is this man that is so professional. And he shook my hand in the process of talking to me. And I said, sir, I think that's the correct way to go because I would not want the Barbados government to expense itself by having this Coast Guard boat go alongside the people yacht and damage it. So I had to find out exactly what is going on. So he said, anyway, I just came up to see who is this person. Yeah. And he congratulated me. And then he said, anyway, he was going to meet the people, the owners of the yacht, to have a luncheon meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I felt so good. Mr. Johnson, I felt so good to know that the Prime Minister spoke so highly of me in the execution of my duty.
It's always good to be recognized for what you do, sir. And I think sometimes we look at leaders, we look at those who are in positions of authority. And sometimes because of what I call the cloak of the office, we tend to perhaps forget that under the cloak there is a human being. And so there are, and let me say up front, there are people who put on the cloak and forget that they're human beings. Let me put that proviso in there so that, you know, people don't start telling me about those that don't. But over the years, from sitting in this chair, either as the Brass Tacks host or when I hosted Fireworks or even when I did Morning Barbados, what always struck me was that when you sit one-on-one with them, you sometimes see a different side of the person that you would see when they are in, you know, the official capacity, even though you're speaking to them in the official capacity. For example, you mentioned Mr. Arthur, the late former Prime Minister. And I would remember seeing him in the supermarket, you know, pushing a trolley, walking around, as I said.
Like everybody else.
A lot of times I would see him with John Williams. They seemed to be inseparable at one point. And I remember one day, I didn't know he even knew who I was, kind of thing. And he walked up to me and said, Johnson, if you were a good husband, you wouldn't be here pushing this trolley. I say, if he was a good husband, he wouldn't be pushing you trolley either. And he burst out laughing, you know, and wagged his finger. But, you know, it was that kind of off-the-cuff kind of comment that, you know, you then realize, shucks, you know, you're just talking to the Prime Minister, right, kind of thing. But there was it was just a comment. I remember when I invited Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford to Fireworks. He couldn't find a place to park outside. He parked across by the market, walked across, and when he came inside, the first thing he did was apologize for taking so long to come across because he had to find a place to park. This is Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford coming to Fireworks, you know, saying, the first thing he says is, my apologies. I would have gotten here earlier, but I was trying to find a place to park. I had to park across the road. There is a human side to the people who hold office that sometimes a lot of us don't see. I'll give you one more of another Prime Minister, the current holder of the office of Prime Minister. Carol Roberts and I were standing in the graveyard at the St. John's Parish Church during the funeral for David Thompson. There was a tent set up for dignitaries. There was a tent set up for members of Parliament. And Mia Motley, current Prime Minister of Barbados, walked across the churchyard up to the gravesite and stood where we were looking over that beautiful site and was shaking with tears running down her cheek. I said, well, shouldn't you be sitting down across with the dignitary? She said, not right now. I just need a minute. This is human. These are two political adversaries whose supporters would tear each other apart. But at that moment, there was a human being mourning the loss of someone they knew and interacted with. And yesterday when I listened to the tributes being paid, I paid particular attention to a couple of those. I think Glenn Clark was one of them, who made the point that there seems to be a brotherhood of members of parliament that extend beyond the adversarial nature of parliament that we take for granted and political parties. And I think supporters need to learn that when they shred each other in the most vicious of language in support of whatever party they support. It is not felt sometimes by those whom they stand supposedly to support and defend. Yep.
Anyway, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
I just want to take this opportunity to wish Mr. Arthur's wife, his children, and you understand he has a grand, his family, his friends, and indeed the whole of Barbados. I want to extend my condolence, and I hope he would rise in glory after his slumber, because I think he deserves it.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.